So I guess a question, you know, before we begin, what is it that brings us destruction?
Lying. Sin.
Okay, sin.
Lying.
Adhering to the flesh.
There's lots of answers, right? I mean, we can come to a lot of things. Go to Hosea 4. Let's think about what God tells us. What brings us to destruction? It's pretty singular, isn't it? Pretty singular. Read verse 6 for us. Well, yeah, just 6 is fine.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children.
All right. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. Now, again, Brother Dixon has touched on a lot of this, and a lot of it's going to be geared towards, I guess, that same thing. But I want us to realize this is the foundation of what he's going to be going over and what he is going over. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But what I want us to think about is, what do I think about that knowledge? What do I consider about that knowledge? You know, how do I see truth? Why is there disputes? Why was there that dispute in Acts, the 15th chapter? Why do we have disputes? Why do we have controversies? Don't we have the same Bible? Don't we have the same scriptures? Is the Comforter the same to you as it is to me? So then why is the disputes? Why is the differences in truth? Why is it out there? Why is it there?
For one, people like such as myself, they come in from maybe a Foursquare or a Catholic. And then also a big thing is people get their feelings involved. And so they want to look away from the truth because their feelings are in the way, whether it's a family member or whatever the reason may be. And then they want to compromise.
Mm-hmm. That is absolutely true. And that is, to me, you know, probably a major factor in why these errors or sometimes these different thoughts come in. But what I want us to realize and understand as we're going to look at scriptures, man, it goes a lot deeper than that, right? It goes a lot deeper than, well, those in religion are, you know, bring some of this in. Those in the world bring some of this in. I want us really to think about as we look at, again, looking at these scriptures, to consider, you know, how this truly gets within us, right? Individually and a local body.
Brother Dixon. Some of it goes along with, you know, we hit this a couple of years ago, sole authority and final authority. The Bible, unfortunately, means different things, as you were bringing out about, you know, what your version of truth is. Sometimes it means different things to different pastors, different churches, different family members. They don't see it the same way. They don't see the commitment that comes with it being the same.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Sister Ronna.
I think it's even simpler than that. Romans 8 says the carnal mind is enmity with God.
Yeah.
And every single one of us have a carnal mind. And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved in the New Testament church member. When we say the scripture from time to time, we all insert our carnal mind.
Yeah. You say potato, I say potato. Go to Isaiah 55. Because she's absolutely right. What you and I, what I as a pastor, and what Brother Crabtree, right? Pastor here at Springfield for a long time, probably, right? The oldest in our work here. He still contends with this. This is something he still battles. This is something I battle. It's something that everyone in the church that you're a member of, that they battle. right? Isaiah 55, verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So you think about, we, to know God's truth, understand it is filtered through my mind. Right? As I study, it still has to be processed through my mind. And I'm either going to let the Spirit teach me, or I'm going to filter every part of this through what I've been taught, my life experiences, my family, my emotions at the time, emotions at the moment. It's all filtered through that. And so I have to realize, man, to get God's absolute truth, I have to keep my body under subjection to let the Spirit teach me to know His truth. But Daniel.
I'm telling myself, I don't know how many times I've sat and I said, oh yeah, now I got it. I've got where I'm supposed to be in understanding this. And then I go along and I go, oh. No, I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
And I do it again. And I don't know that there will ever be a time we can stand. There are some things that we were easy. We locked in. So mm-hmm. It lined up. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy. But
yep.
A lot of things yep. that I'm just going to have to keep learning. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And, exactly. Yep. And we have to, I guess, again, that, and this is just the beginning, you know, that as we are coming to that knowledge of the truth, as we are learning the all things, I have to realize that unless I am just completely humbled myself before the Lord, it's going to be hard for Him to ingrain into me His truth. Because I'm going to try everything in my ability to insert my understanding into it, my thoughts. But again, God says His thoughts aren't my thoughts. And so if I want His thoughts, if I want His understanding, I have to put aside my emotion for the moment, my experiences, what I've been taught, and just allow the Scriptures to be able to. Now, I'm not talking or dealing in with not having godly counsel, right? The Lord speaks about that. With the multitude of counselors, there's safety. We ought to have brother teach us. What I'm dealing with is, if, and this is another one of the points I was going to try and bring out, I think a lot of people take a stand, and I hope you listen to this, whether it's a pastor or churches, take a stand because they took a stand. They're standing on this because that's what Brother Crabtree taught me.
No, I can't do that.
That happens.
That, all the time. And you see it because all of a sudden, maybe somebody will do this and they're going to do that. And then a brother will kind of bring, hey, are you sure? And all of a sudden they'll come back. Well, no, I know this is what I should be doing. Well, why were they going down this path? Why were they taking that step? Because it wasn't their stand yet, right? They were doing it because of someone else. And maybe when they do take the stand, that individual has to look, why am I making this a contention? Why am I making a stand right here? Is this because this is what I see the Scriptures to believe? Or is it because I'm relying on Brother Dixon and Brother Crabtree, so that's why I'm going to make this stand? Because that's a danger.
Well, I mean, that's reality. And that different stages of our lives, of our
spiritual
maturity, that's exactly why we
mm-hmm.
do. But it's not good. That's why your kids, when they're teenagers, go to church with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they bring in a devotional. Or they're maybe teaching a younger class, okay? You do not know what they're going to do yet. But that's why they're doing it. But at some point in time, things switch, and hopefully their God becomes your God.
Yeah.
And God teachings become your teaching.
Yes, and
I know you're 100%. I just don't want somebody to think, well, that's wrong. It is wrong, but we all do it till we grow up.
Well, and that's absolutely the point, and I think it's necessary, right? Our kids rely upon the parents to make decisions for them, to lead them, to get to the place where we can make those decisions, where we can. That's part of that learning and understanding. The trouble comes in, like Brother Dixon's talking about. He just read over there, I don't know if we read all the way down, 1 Timothy 3rd chapter and the qualifications. What does verse 6 say?
Not a novice,
lest being lifted up in pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. What does that mean, lest being lifted up in pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil?
Flesh.
I know what the scripture, I know what the Bible teaches, I know what, so we're going to make this stand.
The reality is, most congregations follow what the pastor says. And it's
almost without exception.
And it's not necessarily grounded in them yet.
Yes. Absolutely. And so, man, how easy would it be for a church to be led astray by a novice? Oh, it's danger. Brother Crackley, then Brother Nitton.
To simplify this, we make the Bible fit our opinions rather than make our opinions fit the Bible.
Yes. Absolutely. We're getting here. That is absolutely the root of this. And I wrote this down because Brother Crafty, I talked earlier in the week. You know, it's almost, unfortunately, the day and age we live in, it's almost a social religion that infects us. And why is that? Well, it goes back to that. My people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. We forget, man, this has nothing to do with social, personal. This has to do with, and this is what I want to boil down to, hopefully by the end of the weekend, maybe some tonight. This is all about brighter relationship. This is all about our espousal to Christ. And so if his thoughts aren't my thoughts and his ways aren't my ways, if I begin to do things my way and I begin to think of the scriptures through my understanding,
you better get corrected.
Didn't I just separate myself from God?
You cut yourself off.
I just did that, Brother Newton.
Well, I fully agree with you, but the Bible does also, Paul does say, be followers of me as I also am of Christ. So there is a time you can follow the pastor.
Absolutely.
And imitate him and whatever, as long as he's following Christ.
Yeah.
And you're not following the man.
Absolutely. And again, that's part of that counselor, that multitude of counselors, that safety. There's wisdom in that. But unless that foundation is the truth, and I'm talking about the Lord's truth, then what are you following? That's exactly what Paul said. You follow me as. Yeah. Well, how am I going to follow Paul as he follows Christ? How am I going to do that?
I have to know the way of Christ to know if Paul's following him.
How do I know he's following Christ? Right? I got to know. Ooh. And I don't have to know everything. All I have to, maybe as a young individual, I just know the basics. And I just see that's the direction that Christ, that's what Christ has to do. And as I learn more knowledge, then I realize his path clearer and clearer, Brother Dixon.
Well, I had this in my lesson, but I skipped over for sake of time. But the overall goal, you know, I was trying to bring out with Brother Trevor and Sister Victoria, the bride relationship, well, that's for all of us. And Revelation 22 and verse 14, blessed are they do his commandments that they may have right.
Yep.
Well, we got to follow commandments to have the right.
Yes.
And that tree's before his throne. That's where he wants us to go. And then in 16 he says, I have sent my angel to testify to these saints in the churches. That's where you find the message.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the comforter is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. So go to John 14, right? This truth. And we know, and I know these are familiar scriptures, and we could go to so much, and we're not even going to look at John, at least the first chapter, the first three verses about him being the word and whatnot. But just again, to kind of get this in a framework, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus says, I am the truth. Right? I am truth. And, you know, again, that word over there in John, the first chapter, but in, I think it is verse 14. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we look at Christ and we understand, you know, how do I know truth? Christ is truth. His Word is truth, right? That's what the 8th chapter of the book of John, right, deals with. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what we heard in Brother Cooper's class, right? Follow Me, I'll make you fish of men. Follow Me, right? Follow the truth, be My disciples, and you'll know truth. You'll know what truth is. You be My disciple, you will know truth. But you have to follow Christ. Now, over in John, the 18th chapter, as He stands before Pilate in verse 36, He says, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, then would My servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is My kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said to Him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth My voice. I came to bring the truth, and those of the truth will know and follow Me. Right? And then the big question, we always read the next verse, right? What did Pilate say?
What is truth?
What is truth? Now, I want you to think about that question. Right? What is that question?
What is God's truth? It's essentially, is there really one truth?
Okay, is there really one truth?
It's a scapegoat.
It's a deflection.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. A scapegoat. That's what it is. And you'll hear it in a lot of different fashions today. Right? A deflection. Okay, here's truth. But look at the beam in your eye.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or, you shouldn't have, you said that in a hateful manner.
Judge not lest you be judged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, judge not lest you be judged. That's scripture. You'll hear it in a lot of different manners today, but it's the same thing. Well, what is truth?
Is there an absolute truth?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you think about that. This is a deflection. I don't want to think about the present. I don't want to consider what you're really saying. And so to get off of that, I'm going to deflect it by throwing something else up. And that's exactly what Pilate did. It's what we all do. Right? If you don't do it outwardly, a lot of times we do it in our mind. Who are they to come to Me? Who are they to be talking about this? Or is this, this certainly isn't that bad. Look what others are doing. It's a deflection. Because we do not want to know absolute truth. And forget about everything else. Right? I bring this up because it's the easiest example ever. Man, what if Nineveh would have looked at Jonah and said, man, who are you to be preaching this? You hate us. And the manner in which you're preaching repentance to us? But thankfully they didn't consider the man. They just considered the message. Right? Is this truth or not? Is this true? And because they did that, they were spared. Right? God forgave them. Because they didn't consider that. A lot of times, though, we filter again everything from the Word of God, from others, through that, our ways. Whether it's emotion, pride, experience, family, it doesn't matter. We filter that through ourselves. Brother Crabtree, then Brother Bo.
Truth is all that God honors.
Yeah.
Now, because look at this. A backslider went and preached to a city, and they repented. They got saved.
Yep. Yep.
You know, some people have the idea that if a sinful individual or a backslider preaches the gospel, God won't bless them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bunch of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
He blesses the truth.
Yep.
He honors the truth always.
Yep. And he'll deal with the backslider.
Absolutely.
Didn't he deal with Jonah? Or, yeah, Jonah, didn't he deal with him?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But let's say, well, God dealt with Jonah. But what if they didn't listen to Jonah because of Jonah's meanness? What would have happened to Nineveh?
Destroyed.
They would have been destroyed. Right? But he dealt with them on according to truth. He dealt with Jonah according to that truth. I'm sorry. Brother Bo, then Brother.
Well, I was actually going to say this in his class, but he wouldn't call him.
I'm going to call him tomorrow.
I see where I read. All right, that's what I mean. So, when it comes to like church discipline or questions that come up with other churches or their practices or doctrines, we have a responsibility to contend for the truth, right? We have the And you were talking about people deflect and people say, well, it's none of your business. Or, you know, what does this have to do with you? What is this concern? It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And not me, but the Lord's New Testament church.
Yep.
So
yep.
It does concern me. Now, if and you know, people get upset about church discipline. You can't judge people. You know, that's not right. And they use that verse, judge not, that you be not judged. But the church has a responsibility to contend for the truth. And,
yep.
And certainly if it's an individual situation and it's public reproach or it's sin in their life, then there's a direction to find the truth, and, you know, and what is the truth and are they walking in the truth and all that. And then if it's a church and their lineage or their practices, we have that responsibility. And
mm-hmm.
So it's there is no, certainly there's respect and being respectful, and there's I guess I would say tact in how we go about it, but the truth concerns us. So it's not meddling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, we are to contend for the truth. We are to seek it out. We are to proclaim it.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking a stand and proclaiming the lessons and the material and the observer and all that, that is our role.
Yep, yep. Exactly. Brother Dixon.
Brother Crabtree gave me some advice a long time ago before I was ordained. And we had a teacher here that was teaching, and I had a problem with they weren't practicing or demonstrating what they were teaching. And I had a real problem, and he said, well, and I've tried to pass this advice on to other people and remind myself, he said, are they teaching the truth? Yeah, we'll take that. And if we have to look past the person,
mm-hmm.
Is it the truth? Is it the Bible? Is that what it is? Then take that. Do something with that.
Yep.
Forget about the guy that's the man.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Any others? I didn't know I've been going through that. All right. So, again, I guess going back to that, you know, obviously, we deflected a lot. I think I'd go back to even the writing of the letter that Jerusalem did. Brother, you know, Dixon said, well, that they threw in the idols and strangled blood. That was almost a little deflection right there,
yeah.
Right? Changing, getting
exactly
the mind off the subject, exactly. And sometimes, you know, churches, this isn't always an individual problem. This is what we're dealing with becomes a church problem. You know, not seeing the truth for what it is, filtering the truth, right? And that's, I think some of these things we talk about, filtering the truth or standing upon that truth for all these other reasons, emotion, pride, family, go all the way down through that. And then this becomes, maybe I guess in our minds, acceptable. Acceptable. Well, let's go back to it. Is there a singular truth about everything? Every topic, every biblical example, is there a singular truth about God?
Yes.
Sin? Creation?
Everything.
Amen. Baptism? Lord's Supper? Fellowship? Okay, if there is a singular truth about all of that, then we as churches would have no dissent. We'd have no disputation. Right?
Romans chapter 8.
Except for our flesh.
Except for our flesh. So that's what I want us to understand. Churches have had disputes since the very beginning. And it's always been because of the flesh. Because we don't just accept God's singular truth. And there's a lot of reasons then why. Right? Well, in this situation, or in this instance, or and just whatever it is, there is a reason why the singular truth isn't followed. Right? The humanism is acceptable at that moment and that time. Right? For the example, Brother Dixon talked about that baptism back here that they, you know, that individual performed, the dad performed it. In that instance, in that time, for that church, this was acceptable. Even though it wasn't God's singular truth, they accepted that. Right? Now, other churches could have looked at that and said, is that what you always practice? No, this is the first time we really practice, and we don't really follow that. Okay, well then we'll just receive a letter from you. There's a lot of churches that would do that. A lot of churches wouldn't even probably maybe even ask that question. You see, there has to become this mindset that, you know, like Joshua, like God told Israel in Deuteronomy, this is my commands, this is my statute, don't turn to the left hand, don't turn to the right hand, you follow these commands. Right? As churches, that is exactly the same way we are to follow the Lord. You don't turn to the right hand, you don't turn to the left hand, this is my truth, this is my teaching, this is what you are to follow. And when we do err, if we go to the right hand or we go to the left hand, in anything, what have we just done? We have literally forsaken his way. And that brings separation. What does separation mean?
Death.
Death. My people are destroyed. Caused to die, right? Destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And if our goal is brighter relationship, there can't be any separation. How much separation is separation?
Any.
Right? And we'll get into more of this tomorrow. And I was just thinking about this. I can look back, and I've shared this, and I think if all of us were honest, we'd be there. But I can look back and say, you know what? I've done probably enough. I don't deserve to be in the bride of Christ. You know, meaning that if I get there and I don't make it, I know. I know why.
You won't accept that.
But I'm going to judge nothing before the time.
Right.
And I have a job the Lord has given me to do to pastor this church. And if I don't make it, that's fine. I'm going to do everything I can to get that body, that every single member makes it. Right? That has to be a pastor's mindset. That church is the espoused bride of Christ. And that's why you can't be afraid of the wolves. You can't be afraid of the bears. You can't be afraid of their own faces. That he has to literally stand in the gap. I look at Moses. I know, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying Moses was not a saint. Go read Hebrews 11. I think he was.
Mm-hmm.
But did Moses get in the promised land?
No.
I look at that a lot and say, man, I'm no Moses. Man, would I? Am I going to get the prize? Knowing my life and knowing what he has done, I said, maybe not, but I'm going to prepare the next generation so maybe they can. Maybe they can make it, right? And hold that line. Keep that contention of the truth and the faith. Because this bright relationship, it's all we have. It literally is all we have. And if we lose that, and that's what I want to focus on tomorrow, if we lose that, you don't get it back. Go read Hebrews 6. Go read about Hebrews 12. We'll look at Esau. We'll read all those scriptures. If a church loses her bright relationship, you don't get it back.
Right.
Man, that's tough.
How far do you have to slide before he takes it?
And that's it, right? If my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge, how many times do we forsake? And what forsaking do we? Moses just struck a rock. Don't we? What do we? And we use this right in one of our letters. I think we just read. What do we liken that as a picture of Christ, the pictorial ordinance? What happens if you mess up a ordinance? What could happen? What could be the possibilities? What if you take in the wrong pictorial ordinance? What have you done? Just how far can we go? why even play with that question? That's why we contend for the faith. That's why we earnestly, as Jude says, know these scriptures. Because if we do not get this ingrained into us, we are destroyed from a lack of knowledge, then we're all going to be destroyed. Because this isn't a social gospel.
Amen.
This isn't a social word. And brother, I tell you what, if we were to be honest, man, sometimes we get wrapped up around the social aspect of what the Lord's work is all about. Mm-hmm. And that has nothing to do with bridal relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's hopefully what I want to get in tomorrow. All right, any other questions, comments? We'll end there. All right, if not, let's stand. We'll pick up here and go on a little bit further.